Welcome to the Transformational Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Hannah Anam. My mission is to help you lead more effectively and be an agent of positive change in times of disruption. On this podcast, we interview practitioners and leadership experts and have coaching exercises that you can apply immediately to your work challenges. Together, we learn how to achieve success and create workplaces in a world that work better for all. Today, my guest on the Transformational Leadership Podcast is Vernice Jones. Vernice is a director and faculty for adult development at Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. She's an associate at Cultivating Leadership, which is a global, deliberately developmental, complexity-based organization. She is a master certified coach. And most importantly for me today, she is one of my very, very good friends. And today's conversation is about race. It is June 1st, 2020. We're having this conversation at a time when our country is in turmoil about how to address our racial divide. So many of us who are not African American want to better understand the experience of our friends. And so I reached out to Vernice at what I know is a really difficult time for her and so many. And I just wanted to have this conversation and have all of our listeners just peek into what it's like to have two friends talk about a very courageous topic. Welcome, Vernice, and I'm so grateful to you for being willing to have this conversation when I know that it's really raw for you.
I think it's raw for all of us right now. Most of us, at least.
Yes. So it's my intention here to not make any statements, but it's just for us to share stories and for me to practice some deep listening with you and to hear your story. And I'm curious about what your intent is from this conversation, Vernice.
Yeah, it's a great question. Gosh, there's so much there, Hannah. First of all, I want to just thank you for opening the dialogue to what is, in fact, a tough conversation for me and a lot of other people at this time, including you. You know, this whole topic, particularly this topic of race in the context of George Floyd's murder and, you know, weaponizing race as in the story of the Coopers in Central Park. I mean, it's just, it feels a little like family business. So it feels a little awkward to share. And last week, some people did reach out to me and I shared with some and other people reached out to me and I stayed at the surface. I really wasn't in the mood or didn't feel like I had the relationship with them to share. But there was something about the way that you reached out to me that made me really feel comfortable in sharing all. And so maybe that's part of the story.
Well, it really touched me when you said it's family business. And there is a way in which I imagine that it is hard speaking outside of the African American community. And so that really touches me that we have the relationship, that we can talk about it. And of course, there's a part of me that also feels that we've shared so much laughter and so many tears together. Of course, we are family. And
we certainly are.
Conversation together.
Yeah. So,
thank you for being family with you.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I do feel like we're family. What is my intent from the conversation? I can't say that I have a goal in mind because I don't. What I am learning over this last week is, as much as I've felt this, calling it an action urge to sort of separate and go back into tribe, and there are different kinds of tribes I'm wanting to go into. You know, there's the African American tribe, but I also have my own awareness tribe, and there, you know, I have my core tribes. I'm also feeling drawn to stretch to be with others, like be in community, be in relationship, which feels a little awkward for me because I do want to sort of go into a hole right now.
Yes.
And so this is my way, one of the many ways that I'm trying to lean in to relationship or to community for the sake of something much bigger than myself.
That's so beautiful. To lean into community for something much bigger than yourself. And what is that?
Yeah, I mean, it has something to do with healing, because my feeling about this moment in time is that I'll say the African American community in particular is experiencing trauma. Generational, socialized, racial trauma, plain and simple. And so when someone's in the middle of an experience of trauma, you know, that means certain things. There's a lot of dissociation with your awareness, with your body, with your sense of what's, you know, right and wrong, with your values, of what's even true. You're questioning everything. And I know a lot of people are going through this experience. And so part of this also is just an opportunity to learn what the trauma of the African-American experience is for one person at this particular moment of time. On June 2nd, I may be in a completely different place and likely will be.
Yes. Yeah, that's so beautifully said, because you're right. I mean, what I'm hearing you say is I'm only speaking for me, Vernus, on this day at this time, and I'm not speaking for the African-American community. I can only speak for me as a human being.
Yeah. And this is, I think, part of the problem, right? Because African-Americans, nor any other group of people that you can put a circle around, are a monolithic group. We are not a monolithic group. And so I think all of us want to be, as individuals, want to be seen and heard and experienced for, you know, the fullest selves that come forward in this moment. And it's when we're not systematically, intentionally, and continuously, that creates a problem.
Yes, of course. You do not want to be stereotyped as speaking for any group of people, because we each deserve to be seen and in our individuality, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So let's go. What do you want to?
So here's what I want to know. So I reached out to you because I felt this deep need within me, Vernus, to know a part of you that's hidden from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's also a part of me that's hidden from me. I don't know how to explain that any better, but I felt like there was this hole in my humanity because I didn't know about that experience that you're mm-hmm. going through right now. And I wanted to connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So share with me, what's it like for you, Vernus, speaking only for Vernus, in this time, as you saw the video, as you are experiencing what's happening, you're the mom of African-American boys.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so we've shared a lot, the two of us, and you know a lot about me. And this, I don't know, I don't think you felt like you didn't know part of me, but I did not share this week's experience with you for sure. So let's see, what would I share? So like a quick version of my week might be that I saw about 5 seconds of the video of George Floyd. I had already seen the video, full video of the gentleman in Central Park. And I never saw the video and avoided the video of the gentleman in Georgia who was shot by the two men in the pickup truck. And somehow, like the Central Park injustice and weaponized, you know, racial profiling and abuse, I would almost say, was disgusting to me. But it's almost like we're all desensitized to it because we just see it so often. But something about a knee on a man's neck, a big man who's calling for his mom and begging for water and a breath, I just couldn't take it. And so the next day after that, I went to this sort of seminar that I attend. It's sort of an awareness seminar. I guess you get to meditation, sort of awareness seminar. And one of the things that came up, I was going to hold that the whole conversation. And someone brought up holding awareness during, you know, tragic times, difficult circumstances. And there had been like a lightness about the conversation that I just couldn't stand. And so I was just like bursting. And I said something like, I'm having a very hard time right now. I usually don't speak up in this forum, and today I am going to speak up about things that are important to me. That when I saw the policeman's knee on George Floyd's neck, I didn't think immediately like I'm sad or I'm angry or I'm frustrated, even exasperated. The first thing that I experienced was the feeling of his knee on my neck. And I immediately went to an experience when I had been, I believe, profiled as an African American and a person of authority had power over my body and I didn't have control. And then I immediately thought of generations back and that joined experience. So it's very different. And then a couple of people said afterwards, you know, yeah, that's terrible. Someone said, yeah, that's too much to hold. You can't hold it by yourself. And so they were sort of saying, you know, Bernice, you don't have to hold it. Let's all hold this for her, which I thought was beautiful. And a couple of people would just say something about their experience in the moment. And someone said, yeah, it's too much for any of us to hold. I thought that's beautiful. And someone talked about generations. Actually, I hadn't spoken about generations at that moment. And so that was like, I got that. And I really broke down because I was really feeling the connection. And someone else said something like, yeah, there's tragedy all around. Like, there's tragedy. Obviously, this man is dead, and the police officer's life is destroyed. Like, his family is, you know, they're in pain, which I get, which felt like a re-traumatizing of me. Someone else said the same thing, and there were lots of little comments, and I just had to shut myself down. I couldn't even, once I started hearing this direction, like, all, you know, all of us, it's balanced. Like obviously he's dead, but there's also trauma over here too. There's also pain. I just like shut down. And then.
What did you need in that moment?
Yeah, I needed her to not say that. I needed her to not. And she was having her own experience. She's a lovely woman. There are a couple of people, lovely women. They meant nothing by it. One, they just didn't know. And I was experiencing my own trauma and just couldn't take it in. So that's one thing. And then the next couple of days, because as you said, I have two African-American boys and I've asked around, other people have had the same experience. In fact, I haven't talked to any mothers who haven't had this experience. And that is, as an African-American mother, like imagining people telling me that my child was just killed or was just died, and what will I do? So I won't be caught unawares. So I'll just, okay, what will I do? What will I think? How will I look back? Will I fall to the ground? Will I be motionless? Will I, you know, what will I think in that moment? Like really go through the steps so it's not the first time. So I went through that for both of my children, like over and over and over and over again. Yeah, that was painful. There's more to it, but that's tough.
Yeah. That just breaks my heart, Bernice, because there's this, I'm just reflecting on how many of us who are mothers of not African-American males actually have to prepare ourselves or have those conversations with our boys.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing, right? Because when you see them, they're representing much more than themselves for people, and they need to know that. So that's hard for a teenager to get. And like teenagers can be mouthy. Teenagers can be stupid.
Yeah.
You can't be stupid. Like you don't have the luxury to be stupid and mouthy because you could get killed, period. And I'm not joking.
That's a lot for a young child, man, teenager to carry.
But, yeah.
Like all of a sudden a grown-up thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that in the moment I am not displaying emotion, and it's like a protection. So this is not new for me, and it's not a place that feels raw. I've gone over this many times, so that's why you'll notice that in me.
Yeah. I get that too. So many of us who are not African American want to reach out to our friends, and it's an awkward, it's really awkward. Like, how do I even approach it with somebody? Is it too personal, to your point?
Yeah.
Still in shock. If they're not, I don't want to somehow quote unquote profile them.
Right.
Feeling something, right?
Yeah.
So any thoughts for those that are listening? And, you know, unfortunately, this conversation will continue.
Chances are great. This conversation will continue.
I wish they weren't.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about how to think about it and how to approach it?
Yeah. I mean,
With respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so one thing that I'll say is that, you know, if you have African-American friends, colleagues, lovers, significant others, and you're wondering if they're okay or not, they are not okay. Mm. So that's number one. Mm. And I'll just say one other thing. You know, during COVID, I decided to lead these women's leader groups. One of the cohorts is all African American, and that's a long story, but that's what it is. And, you know, this Sunday was tough. Mm. This Sunday was really tough. I mean, there was just like no doubt in my mind that this was like trauma. And it is so raw, and it goes so deep. You know, generations deep, you know, like murder by murder, public murder by public murder, by lack of action deep. And so just know that, you know, it's tender. Having said that, you know, far be it for me to tell anybody what they ought to do. I mean, you can look, if you want, Google, go on Facebook. There'll be lots of lists of what a person can do. What I would add to the conversation is spend the time to be in the moment and attune yourself to what is in your relationship with this person in the moment. Mm. And from there, decide how you want to reach out, how you want to create some kind of intimacy with them. And even in your collective, your community, like from a place of your deepest well-being and relational capacity, source that to figure out what you ought to do next. Like, what can you uniquely do with your skills, passions, love? What can you do in this moment? What are you called to do? And for some people, that's protests. And for some people, that's protests and something else. For some people, that's leading workshops and speaking on YouTube and something else. I mean, what? I'm not here to tell you. You figure out, sense inside yourself, attune yourself to something bigger than yourself, and figure out what you need to do in this relationship, in your community. Don't be afraid to ask, to have a conversation with others, and to be awkward, to fall down, to look stupid.
That strikes me as so important, because I think those of us, there's many of us who just want to get it right. And I don't know that we know how to get it right. You know, there is no way to get it right, because it's fundamentally wrong. These, in many ways, what we're dealing with, this huge inequality that we deal with.
Yeah. I mean, there's this concept of authentic relating. And I would almost call this sort of a raw relating.
Yeah.
Where two people or a group lean to each other, into each other with a sort of rawness. And maybe there's something to solve, but maybe there's not. Sometimes it's just leaning in with the question or with our pain together, with nothing in particular to do. That's more healing than I think people think.
Yeah, I get that. It feels like to me that we jump to try to change people's minds.
Yeah.
And what we really need is changing people's hearts. And then their actions will change. And I know that for me, just being able to connect with you and hear your experience of what you're going through right now. It was moving. It was moving. It was just listening. And there is something about stories and sharing our stories. And yet I also acknowledge that it's so hard to share our stories.
Yeah.
They are messy.
Yeah. And totally messy.
And often we are not each other's family, right?
No, no. And I also want to acknowledge that, you know, if you're a leader in the organization, you know, I want you to have conversations, and I kind of want you to lead on the issue.
Yes.
So
what are some questions? So let's talk about that. So if I'm a leader inside of an organization, Vernice, and we're both coaches, right? It's our so much part of the work that we love, that's our calling to help leaders step into, you know, their sense of purpose, their values, their authenticity, their bigger selves. What are some questions that we as coaches need to be asking our leaders, and or questions that leaders need to be asking themselves in this time?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say that sometimes we talk about scaffolding in adult development, right? So when you are stepping into a self that is really a bit beyond what you can see or are comfortable with, sometimes you need scaffolds to sort of hold yourself in this place of greater capacity, greater leadership, your bigger self. And so, you know, race may be one of those things that you don't quite get. And you know you don't get it. And so if you come from a place of authenticity, it's just going to be bad, because that's the best you can do. And so sometimes there, I mean, I do want to give some advice in that case, because I don't want you to do something that's re-traumatizing. And so one I would say is don't like realize the moment.
Say that again.
Realize the moment. This is a moment in time that you cannot step over because you have work to do. So acknowledge that something is going on. So that may be sending an email out. That may be like having a conversation with the team, but it should be something. It shouldn't be nothing.
Yes.
And just having a conversation, having your conversation about whatever the content of the meeting is alone.
So what is that conversation like, Vernice? How do I acknowledge, the moment?
And not re-traumatize. Yeah. So, this is a horrible moment in time. We respect all voices and somehow call out the unique experience of African Americans. Because that's what's happening. Every time something comes up, people try to say, and all lives matter. And I have my own experience, which is just as bad. Like, we're not comparing right now. There's no competition right now. Like, this is a time for people who have not felt heard or witnessed for generations and whose bodies are being destroyed systematically in front of a public setting by a person who was hired to protect us. So you acknowledge it. Talk about respecting all voices and call out the African American community. And a beautiful way to do it, right? Call out something that someone's doing or conversation that you had, right? Something that someone's doing out in the community.
That is a positive?
As a positive, right? Because then people feel heard and it doesn't feel like lip service. Because there are a lot, I'm just noticing from leaders, a lot of beautifully crafted paragraphs. Which does not create an environment where people necessarily feel witnessed. But when you say, I'm thinking of so-and-so, from finance, who, at Friday afternoon went to deliver dinners to so-and-so. Several of our employees are protesting and we support them. This is happening over here. I noticed there are conversations around race happening at lunchtime talks over in marketing. And we celebrate, we recognize and encourage all of those things. But also, here are some things we're doing a little differently today than we did yesterday. And we want to hear what you have to say about it.
I loved what... this is great advice, Vernice. And I want to go back to the fact that this is such a learning moment for us. I mean, we're having a conversation about race right now, but it's also a conversation about leadership, because leaders use these moments. They don't hide. They use these moments to somehow learn, be propelled, perhaps dig deeper into what really matters, and act from that place of, deeper inner work, connection with community and what's important, right, in their context. What might be some questions that you would ask leaders to introspect around or reflect around that really help them dig? This is a leadership moment. And what is it that I'm moved to do, or what matters to me now? Perspective. Are there questions for leaders to?
I mean, one question is coming to me, which I heard Jennifer Garvey Berger say in one of your podcasts, and that is, how might I be wrong? There's something that this person in front of me knows that I don't know.
Beautiful.
Can I be open to my perspective not being complete enough for this moment? How might I be wrong? Which means I have to suspend my judgment for a little while and really like witness this person, which is more than, you know, just hearing what they have to say, but really being in a space where we're together. That's important. Also, I mean, for different people, it's different, but I really like who am I called to be in this moment. In this moment, given this context, given resources I have at my disposal, who am I called to be? Or, you know, what can I uniquely add?
Mm.
You know, what can I uniquely provide in this time?
Such powerful questions, Verna. Thank you so much.
My friend.
For your courage and your wisdom. Most importantly, I hope that it encourages someone to get curious, to pick up the phone, to talk with somebody else, to have
and even,
the same conversation, you know, just another version of it.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm thinking of is even if it leads one person to spend the time to heal thyself. That would be worthwhile.
Beautiful.
Thanks for listening. This is your host, Hannah Anand. Please rate, comment, and share our podcast with those you care about. Be the leader who helps others grow and thrive in times of disruption. You can visit our website at www.transformleaders.tv. There, you'll find other great tools to grow your leadership and be a force for good in these times. Until the next time, my friends.